I have a theory. I think heirloom tomatoes threw open the doors to rethinking what we buy, what we eat, and what we demand to know about our foods. Certainly, they changed the life of one home gardener. Craig Lahoulier is called the North Carolina Tomato Man. He's a gardener in Raleigh who says he didn't choose the tomato. The tomato chose him. And in 35 years, he's grown and tasted over 1,000 tomatoes. He develops new varieties and is Seed Saver's tomato advisor. His new book is Epic Tomatoes, How to Select and Grow the Best Varieties of All Time. Craig, it is so good to have you here.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn. It is an absolute pleasure to be here.
Well, a fellow tomato lover, you know, I could go on and on. Now, you talk about 35 years of growing out and tasting 1,000 different tomatoes. What is it about the tomato? What got you hooked?
Well, it really goes back to my love of gardening that was instilled in me when I was very, very young by my dad and my grandfather. That took me through to maybe right around when I was married to my wife Susan in 1980, when the first thing we decided to do was have our own garden. And of course, the tomatoes that grew in that garden were better boys, because back in 1980, the Seed Savers Exchange hadn't really become well-known enough to induce people to grow all these incredibly wonderful colors and shapes and sizes that have been kept all over the world for years and years. When I joined the Seed Savers in 86, not only my gardening life changed, but my life changed, because then tomatoes of every hue of the rainbow would decorate our tables and adorn our recipes, and nothing has been the same since, Lynn, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I can understand that. Now, you mentioned the better boy, and I think that's a descendant of the big boy. Was it big boy?
Big boy, actually,
yeah. It was the first hybrid.
Yes.
And that for gardeners, this was pretty important because it meant disease resistance and that kind of thing. But you talk about you grew side by side hybrids and some heirlooms as a test. What came out of the test?
Well, you know, as a scientist in a pharmaceutical company, I do have this laboratory approach to things. And part of it is I love folklore, but I want to prove to myself what happened. So I was reading the catalogs. You need to grow hybrids if you were to have yield and success. I said, that sounds like a challenge to me. So I pulled some great-sounding heirlooms out of the Seed Savers catalog, grew them side by side, and in a three-year time period of growing maybe over 100 types, convinced myself that hybrids are really good. Heirlooms can be really great, and you get the added distinctiveness of the colors and the nuances. It's almost like wine tasting when you can start picking up all of the individuality characteristics that each specific tomato holds. And once you start down this road, and it's not a bug that hits everyone, but for those that really get it, there's no end to it, and you just end up on a lifelong quest to grow everything you can get your hands on.
One of the things I suspect, because I'm thinking about in the 30 years that you've been growing those tomatoes, and especially since maybe the 1990s, there has been such an amazing change in the way we approach what we eat in the United States. You know, we question so much. We demand things that we didn't demand before, like flavor. And I wonder if it was the heirloom tomato that ushered in this change or deeply influenced it. And I think if it had been a green bean or a cauliflower, it's just not. I mean, this was a sexy fruit that everybody responds positively to. And I wonder if we could say that that was one of the things that really started people thinking about how their food is grown, biodiversity, and, you know, demanding better fruit.
And I'll add some words to that. History, stories, community. And because, the tomato is actually the perfect storm of nostalgia. We'd get in the car with our parents or grandparents and take a drive and stop at a farm stand and grab tomatoes. The tomatoes, the heirlooms particularly, come with stories. So in 1990, when I was fortunate to be sent the tomato that I later named Cherokee Purple, that kind of kicked off the black tomato craze. And we've seen since the 90s different colors come in. And now we've got this cornucopia of all colors and flavors. People do demand that excellence. They'll pay premiums at restaurants for heirloom tomato plates. But we have to remember it is a seasonal vegetable. And one of the challenges in America, we are very accustomed to having every fruit and vegetable 365 days a year.
Yeah.
To get the absolute excellence of tomatoes, it's kind of like strawberries, blueberries, these fleeting moments. And that's why I really don't eat another tomato between my last one picked in, say, September and the first one picked in June, unless they're canned, sun-dried, preserved in some way, because, you know, the tomatoes off-season, people are doing a wonderful job improving them, mm-hmm. but they're still not the same. And they're very perishable.
Yeah, but I think some of the best things in life have to be fragile. We appreciate them more.
Yeah.
You have a top 10 list of
yes.
your 10 favorites. Could you give us an idea, maybe three of them, for us to hunt down or contemplate at least?
Sure. Well, I'll start with one that's quite easy to find, and it's Sun Gold. Two words, Sun Gold. It's a hybrid that first came out in probably the late 80s. And I would love to have a picture album of the faces of everyone and the expressions they made when they taste their first fully ripened Sun Gold, because really no other tomato has the unique set of flavor characteristics. And they wind up in a lot of our recipes, including Lydia of Lydia's Italy makes a pesto trapanese, and we use Sun Gold. It is a cherry tomato pesto that's to die for.
Oh, and the trapanese pesto has almonds
yes,
in it and
yes,
basil. Oh,
yes.
Boy. Yeah.
The toasted almonds, the basil, the garlic. So that's number one. Number two, I'd have to say Cherokee Purple, partly because when you name a tomato and you don't really think anything of that moment except it needs a name, I know the story, and you send it to be shared. To be able to walk around a farmer's market anywhere in the country and see that tomato is a surreal, unbelievable experience. And it just happens to taste really darn good.
Right.
And then I'm going to mention one called Lillian's Yellow Heirloom. They average 1 to 1.25 pounds. It's the color of a canary. Lillian's would have to rank as the best tasting large tomato I have ever eaten. And that's really saying a lot, I think.
Yeah. What do you see coming? What are you working on now? And what do you see as the future in the world of tomatoes?
The future, we're going to go through the fads of the interesting colors. And right now we're starting to see the wonderful stripes that are coming out of wild boar farms in California and other amateur breeders. We're seeing the blue pigment getting worked into tomatoes.
Really? Huh.
From a wild tomato that had a dark blue pigment, Indigo Rose is one of the varieties. And it's not blue so much as a dark blueberryish purple where the sun shines on it. And they're still working on the flavors, but those are fads. Where I think it has to go is that heirlooms don't become something ethereal, something that just shows up on plates at restaurants, but we embed in the country the need to save seeds, to tell the stories. The Seed Savers came along at a perfect time 40 years ago. Their work is going to be never done, but how can we all help them? How can we identify the young people who are going to be really into gardening and growing tomatoes and seed saving that are going to be sitting in this seat in 20 or 30 or 40 years, so that we can maintain this incredible heritage that we've been blessed with, that we can partake of right now.
Craig, thank you. And thank you for all the tomatoes.
You're very welcome.
Craig LeHoulier is author of Epic Tomatoes. Now, put your tomato knowledge to work with this recipe for fresh heirloom tomato soup with cream. You'll find it at splendidtable.org. Oh, and don't forget to check out our list, 21 things you can do with a tomato, at splendidtable.org.